Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Finally, but not last, winner of the Golden Boot, the tournament's top scorer, and the Golden Ball, the best player, Megan Rapinoe.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
This group is so resilient, is so tough, has such a sense of humor. It's just so bad. It's like, there's nothing that can phase this group. We're chilling. We got tea sipping. Got celebrations. New York City, get a fan!
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
City, time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this Thursday afternoon.
What's happening?
Not a whole lot.
I think literally there's not a whole lot going on. Literally, it's that kind of day.
I'm going to start off with something very basic and simple.
Let's keep it easy.
Every human being possible right now as I speak. I want to know, what is the biggest thing you care about in sports right now? Or are you taking the next month off?
You're just going to mentally take a break. Take a break from sports for a while.
Because you and I have a lot of segments to get to.
We do. We have things to talk about today.
But this is always the time of year where I'm like sitting back and you and I are getting show ready. And we're also kind of like, I don't really care about this topic. It's not that big a deal.
Right.
We're going back and forth how to plan the show. And I always ask friends, I'll ask family members. I'm like, hey,
what's going on in your life right now?
It's 7-Eleven. What do you care about?
Yeah, what's your flavor right now?
And a few friends will sarcastically respond, well, it's free Slurpee day at 7-Eleven, so I care about that. But you ask them like a sports related, what do you care about?
Wait a minute. Today's 7-Eleven.
It is.
How did I not know that? Today's 7-Eleven.
I didn't know it was Thursday.
I need to go get a Slurpee after the show today.
Exactly.
I totally missed the boat on that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's what this show does. But most of the time, I will get a hearty.
Man, nothing. Man, you don't know what's going on. Much.
You don't have a baseball team?
No, not really. No.
NBA free agency?
Man, it's over. Man. All the dust is settled at this point.
NFL?
Man, camp's not open.
College football?
Well, you know, we'll see it about August.
You can't get a straight answer out of people.
It's that time of year. I think most people are taking a slight mental break because it's been so intense. If you're a basketball fan, the last month has been really intense.
Like my brain is still melting.
Like leading up to free agency, the craziness of the opening Sunday of free agency, the Blazers being involved, the Kawhi Leonard stuff happening a week later. Like that was, there was a lot of mental strain going on there in the world of sports for a bit. So I think a lot of people are just taking a step back right now. Like if you're not a diehard baseball fan, and even if you are right now, it's still the All-Star break. There's a game tonight. That's stupid. There shouldn't be a game tonight, but there is one. So you're still waiting for your team to start the second half. Maybe it's MLB trade deadline in a couple of weeks. Maybe.
But what if your team's not good?
Right. Like they're then they could be sellers. Like I'm going through that. I got to wait and see where Bumgarner's going to get traded and what they're going to get in return for him. Like that's the only thing that's on my radar right now.
So the question is, Are you looking for something sports related to fill the void, or do you take this time to just check out of sports? Well, because you have Rafa and Federer going to play in the men's semifinal at Wimbledon tomorrow.
You play it.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, just play.
Are you looking?
No one cares.
Are you looking for sports stories to fill that sports need?
No.
Or are you just checking out?
Dude, this honestly,
MySpace isn't lonely. MySpace of not having sports right now.
Because you got the British Open next week.
Yeah, the Open Championship's next week, so that'll do it for me.
Well, that's next week.
Sure, I know, it's next
week. If Serena wins the Wimbledon final, she will tie the all-time record for most Grand Slam singles victories at 24. That's not nothing.
No one cares!
She could not break that record, and she's still going to be regarded as the GOAT.
Right, and like this listener might have hit my current sports mindset on the head.
I know what text you're going to read, but
somebody texted in, the number one thing on their sports mind right now is my own golf game. He said, I don't listen for the sports, I listen because I love you guys. Well, I love you too.
We love you too.
That honestly is the main thing on the forefront of my mind is when's the next time I'm playing golf? What course am I playing? What am I going to shoot? Am I going to unravel again on the back nine? Like, most of my morning was spent, I'm playing on Sunday, and I can't find people to fill out my foursome. I'm like texting left and right, looking for people to play golf, and it shouldn't be this difficult right now.
Well, yeah, you're getting a lot of no's.
Yeah, including you. You always bitch that I don't invite you. I invited you, and now you got to go to a barbecue or something.
I'm hosting a barbecue Sunday afternoon.
What time does it start?
Like 12 o'clock.
I see you're done by 11. You're home. How far do you live from Stone Creek?
A mile.
Boom, you're home by 11:15. You don't need 45 minutes to pepper that meat.
No, but nobody asked me.
Swigard, you want to play?
I'm looking for my stapler.
I'm 18 handicap.
Seriously, do you want to play Sunday?
What's the tee time?
7:19 a.m.
I might be able to make that.
Okay,
you get your ass to Stone Creek at 7 a.m.?
Let's go.
Oh, yeah. That's a team player right there.
Got some golf to play, baby.
Who
I'm playing
cares?
Saturday, too. Dialed in this weekend.
We got the I got a football game to call on Saturday night out in Vancouver.
Oh, that's
the Shriners Freedom Bowl Classic.
Yeah.
So I get home, and then we got a Hops game. Hops open up another series Sunday afternoon. So as long as I'm at the ballpark at 2:30, we're good.
Well, hop your ass over to that Stone Creek course and play some 7 a.m. golf with Dirt.
Just hoppity on down on a Sunday a.m., man. Yeah.
No, I've gone back and forth with this topic with Swigard. Specifically, this just happened where he sat down and he goes, what do you like? It was when you were gone.
Yeah. What do you?
What do you like watch nowadays? Like when this calendar hits right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, when football gets going, and then the basketball season kind of starts shortly after, I'm consumed with watching television and sports till about early June. I'm actually A-okay not following anything. Golf major, I'll watch the Open Championship. Wimbledon, I'll see the highlights. I just Braves games are about the only thing I will follow, and sure. I won't even watch all of those.
Yeah, you keep an eye on the Braves, how they're doing.
And he was like, you know how Swigard is. He dives into like 19 different sports. He always has something on the sports calendar. Whereas myself, I have a nice little month and a half break. And, you know, quite frankly, I enjoy it. I got to watch the Aziz Ansari stand-up special.
Yeah, you're soaking up other things non-sports related.
There is no pressure of like, oh, you missed the ESPYs. No, I saw Brooks Koepka's girlfriend. She's beautiful. That was all we needed to see.
Yeah, that was a headline out of the ESPYs, and we need to get to Odell Beckham Jr.'s outfit, too.
His kangaroo pouch.
Those are the two things that need to be discussed. Also, Tracy Morgan.
Did you see any of it?
No. Well, I was curious. I'm always curious what the opening monologue is. So I came in this morning and I watched maybe 3 minutes of it online.
He's a terrible stand-up comedian.
And I turned it off.
Tracy Morgan is a comedic actor who tries to act like he can do stand-up comedy. I just do not think he's funny.
Yeah, it was not a good choice there.
Yeah.
Like usually they come in and they roast athletes and it's kind of funny. Like they're making fun of guys for leaving or signing. Whatever. Like, I remember whoever it was a couple of years ago when KD left OKC and him and Russ were both in the audience and it was just like awkward moment. I enjoy that. But he was like just doing a stand up bit about how he got hit by the truck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a traumatizing
experience.
Sure,
that's a big moment for him.
But was that 4 years ago?
Yeah, but it's also like people don't tune in to hear your stand. Like, you're not doing a stand up bit. It's like a 5 minute opening monologue where it's supposed to be about sports.
Well, even if you wanted to make it about your stand up bit, don't you think if you just do a sports related one and you're hilarious, people will go, oh, I need to look up his stand up.
That guy was funny. I want to go check him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than being like, hey, I was on a tour bus and we got hit by a Walmart semi truck.
What? Yeah.
Wait, what?
Odell shaved his head. He's got a pouch on the front. What's
he's
going
looking,
on?
He's hopping around like a kangaroo tonight. What the hell's happening?
All right. Well, we do have a lot of things to get to today. I know that. We planned the hell out of this show.
We did.
Trust us.
Here we go.
Let's find out what's on tap.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events. You say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap, brought to you, The Fan, by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com.
By the way, Timber Bro pissed at us. We didn't mention the Timbers. They're going on right now.
They're not. They're playing a cup.
Yeah, but they're technically playing.
But I don't think it counts to the regular season.
Does it not count in the regular season?
No, but okay. They're in the semifinals for the second time in their history, and they got another regular season game on Saturday here at home.
Yeah, I saw they won on Wednesday night.
Yeah, they finally beat LAFC.
And they just won, I know this, they won at Yankee Stadium. They played at Yankee Stadium and won there.
So they're doing like a mini championship during their season.
Remember, this is what Adam Silver
wants
to do.
That's how soccer works.
He wants to do in-season tournaments.
Yeah, not a fan.
Not a fan of the in-season tourney?
Not a fan.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Shout out to the Timbers. We know you are going on right now.
Yeah, kind of.
Throw fuel on that fire.
Well, we've been going over this for like 3 weeks now with Timber Guy. When are we just going to accept it for what it is?
It is what it is, people.
Please, by the way, find a sports radio show in a day part that's focusing on Timber soccer, and then come back and bitch at us for not talking enough Timbers. You won't find one. Just enjoy the season. It is what it is. We'll go to games when we get tickets.
Hey, nobody needs to get angry, all right? It's a nice day. Sun's going to be shining today.
I've had a hell of a Thursday, man.
It's going to be a good day. Tomorrow's Friday. Everybody's feeling good.
Anytime you wake up, get a little lovemaking in the morning. Sets the table up well.
Good appetizer.
Oh, it's just delicious. Yeah. Well, we got a good show today. We will, give me a second. Let me pull the show sheet up here. We will get one stop for the Daily Ticker. Melvin Gordon is holding out, and he has a contract demand. And if he doesn't get what he wants, he's going to demand a trade, according to Adam Schefter. So we're going to go to L.A. for the Daily Ticker. We'll talk about this. Is there a level of running back you do pay versus not paying running backs at all?
Yeah, is it just a nobody gets paid kind of philosophy
it was
here?
Interesting back and forth with two national pundits on this topic, and we'll dive into that one today. At 1 o'clock, Kerry Murdoch is a co-host of the morning show on 98.1 The Sports Animal in Oklahoma City.
The Animal.
They are in complete blow-up rebuild mode, and Dirt and I just thought it'd be interesting to go to Oklahoma City and see what the town thinks about it. They're a small market team. How they're feeling about an LA team taking one of their stars and potentially the end of an era with Russell Westbrook. The Rockets reportedly want him,
which I kind of hope happens.
Me too.
Like that level of dysfunction would be...
That would all but eliminate them, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
I just can't imagine how Paul, Westbrook, and Harden work together.
Well, I'd imagine it'd have to be a three-team trade where they get rid of Chris Paul, because I don't know how you make Paul's contract, Harden's contract, and Russell Westbrook's contract work.
Well, they'd be about the luxury tax, and then there might be an idea that they think, if it's not Chris Paul being traded, Clint Capella to open up the cap space. And
you got Paul and Westbrook starting at your guards, and James Harden as your starting three?
But Harden's going to still kind of run the one.
And then,
it's a whole weird deal,
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, so we'll get to that today. There is a good story on ESPN.com. I don't know, I feel like I knew this already. But Baxter Holmes did a really good write-up on it. The youth basketball problem and what's plaguing the young basketball players in the NBA. We'll talk about that. Of course, we got Crunch Time, Swags, Plums. It's a good one today. And we'll start. This is very generic, but I actually stumbled across this last night on Twitter. So Marcus Greaves, friend of the show.
Friend of the show, shout out.
Does the damn podcast now.
That he does. I think he's recording it right now as we speak.
Handed it off to him. I said, dude, you go do the damn podcast.
You take my baby.
He'll do like questions from people. And last night I said, you could only choose one Oregon State player all time, non-quarterback. You need one score. Who do you give the ball to? And I asked Dirt this question. I asked Buck this question. This one kind of set off a little bit of a firestorm of people disagreeing. What is the one player you give the ball to in a must-score situation that's a non-quarterback from your favorite college team?
Yeah, from your team, from your school.
I want to give my answer, and I want to hear your answer from the Oregon perspective. You can chime in at 55305, the Better You Today text line. We got a good one today. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. All right, Melvin Gordon's unhappy in L.A., so we're going to go in Los Angeles for the Daily Ticker, talk with Jeff Miller of the L.A. Times, get his thoughts on the situation. Their camp opens soon.
I'm just praying we don't have another Le'Veon Bell situation, man.
I love watching that guy play.
I don't want to go through that again for 2 years. Waiting for deals, holding out, franchise tags. That sucked talking about Le'Veon Bell nonstop.
Well, the whole running back thing is interesting in itself. Like, is there a level of running back you should pay versus guys that mostly fall into the same category of no way I'm committing $18+ million a year to this guy?
Yeah.
And we can dive into that one. So yesterday I'm bored on Twitter. I'm scrolling. I'm seeing nothing. I just had 10 minutes. I was bored, sitting, waiting. And I see Marcus Greaves, coworker of ours here at The Fan, asking people for damn podcast questions for Oregon State football podcast. And all from time to time, like, he said, hey guys, any ideas who I should invite on? And I responded, your mom. And I like to chime in from time to time.
Yeah.
And yesterday he goes, anybody got any questions? And I thought, you know, Oregon State has not been great in football in quite some time. It's hurt my soul. But what I do know is they've had really stinking good players come through there. And one thing I've always wondered is if the game was on the line, you had one final play, doesn't matter how far you are, how far out you are, you have one play, non-quarterback, what skill position player all time do you give the ball to make that one score? Gives you the best possible chance.
Right.
So no Mariota.
No, you can't pick a quarterback.
Yeah, no Mannions. Yeah. Quarterbacks are out the hell of it.
I don't even know if I would pick Mannion.
Well, no, I just, yeah,
right.
No.
Like, if you could include,
I'd pick Cody Vaz over Sean Mannion.
Ooh, there you go.
Well,
okay.
I saw what I saw.
Sure.
Anyways, non-quarterback, what skill position player you would choose in your program's history? This is a controversial one in itself because
this is, yeah.
You could go super new age.
You could.
And you're going to get people that will be like, what about Ahmad Rashad, a.k.a. right. Bobby Moore?
Right, people will go back in the day if they want to.
What about Ontario Smith?
Right.
What about Maurice Morris? Just using Oregon as an example here, you could go super old school, 90s, Wilcox, new age. Where do you go with
I'm
the
ball? I'm lobbing it up to the tight end in the corner, baby. Let's go.
He was wearing those midriff shirts, too.
He had the mesh uni on. This actually was a really easy answer for me, and it sparked a little bit of debate backstage. Backstage, if we back in the dump.
We're on a stage now?
We're on the stage, on the main stage.
Hey, ladies, dirt to the main stage.
But when you asked me this for Oregon, it was a pretty, like, my first answer was Mariota. That was the obvious one, because he could run or he could throw. He could score in different ways. And then we eliminated the quarterback from the question because that made it too simple to answer with. And my easy answer was, and again, you have to remind yourself, you're not going with your favorite player, you're not going with the most productive player, you're not going with the best all-time Duck. I'm just talking like most explosive is what comes to my mind. Like, I have one play, I need a touchdown.
Now, you're taking into account here, there's a possibility this individual, whoever you're choosing,
sure,
may need to break a few tackles.
That's exactly what I'm assuming. Like, either you're going to hand it off to him or you're going to throw it to
whatever.
Him. Like, you're going to get the ball in his hands some way and he has to score. This is an easy answer for Oregon.
I cannot believe it's easy.
It's D'Anthony Thomas.
Oh, my God.
He's the most explosive player ever at Oregon. Now, was he the most productive? No. Was he the most consistent? No. You know, is he the best running back or playmaker of all time? No. But I'll look at the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin. He returns a kickoff for a touchdown, which was a major play in the game. The next time he touched the ball, it wasn't a kickoff. It was a handoff. He had like a 90-yard touchdown run. Then they threw a swing pass to him. He scored a touchdown on that too. The guy was a touchdown machine when you got him in open space. There's been a ton of great players to come to Oregon, but nobody that I would trust more with one play and the ball in their hands to score a touchdown.
Over LaMichael James.
Yes, over LaMichael. He's faster.
Over Jonathan Stewart.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Jonathan Stewart.
Sammy Parker.
Yes.
Keenan Howery.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Now, in my honorable mention, and I didn't even go, like,
Cole Ayerla.
Now, he was a beast.
He was a beast. Johnny Munt.
Johnny Football? I do remember Johnny Football. The honorable mention, though, for me, too, and this might be controversial to some, really wasn't a no-brainer either, but my number two pick would have been LeGarrette Blount.
LeGarrette's probably up there for me, too.
Now, the tough part is picking
Oregon.
It has to be a run play there because I don't think they ever threw him the ball. He is a running back. Like, DeAnthony, you have either way. You could run a screen to him. You can hand it off to him, fly sweep.
LaMichael was okay out of the backfield, right, catching the passes?
He wasn't a huge part of their passing game. But if I had to pick one guy, like Jonathan Stewart's up there, too. But if I had to pick one guy,
tank.
Like 40 yards, you're handing it off to him, and he's got to break tackles and carry dudes into the end zone or hurdle over a couple of guys. I would go LeGarrette Blount.
See, second to DeAnthony Thomas. Here's my only problem with your answer, and this is maybe somewhat out of his control from his career. I just felt like he was, massive's not the right word, but given what we thought he was going to be and what he potentially could have been, felt like a bit of a disappointment in Eugene.
Well, he didn't play his last year until the Civil War.
No. I'm talking about DeAnthony.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant LeGarrette Blount.
Because
he burst onto the scene and then he punched and then he got suspended
fully
for the year.
Fully aware of what LeGarrette Blount is capable of here.
He did score a touchdown in that game.
I'm thinking of DeAnthony. And I don't blame you because that speed is unreal.
Sure. I think that was just a product of when he was at Oregon and how many weapons they had around him. Like, they didn't need him. Like, that. They were a dominant program then. They didn't need him to touch the ball 35 times a game.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not going biased, but I'm going to throw it out because this guy did really win a Civil War. Keenan Lowe cut the touchdown pass in the end zone. Pretty clutch.
When he won a Civil War?
Remember the touchdown, Mariota? 2014?
That was Josh Huff.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Josh Huff.
Josh Huff, yeah. Josh Huff, if I had to pick a wide receiver, I'd probably go with Josh Huff.
Really?
Him close with a Sammy Parker, Keenan Howry. I'd go more old school. I would lean more old school kind of wide receivers when you get into that conversation. We've had a lot of Jeff Mails texted in.
Buck suggested Jeff Mails maybe his second one because he's like, he's going to get open and he's not going to drop the ball.
Yeah. And this, honestly, like, even looking at Oregon State, too, it's an easy answer for me. Like an incredibly easy answer.
Well, it's easy, but there's a lot of players that are worthy of making you wonder a little bit.
There's a lot of players you could throw into the conversation if you want to, but there's one answer.
It's pretty universal.
And it's Steven Jackson.
Steven Jackson.
The dude is a monster.
Yeah. Great options in quiz.
Sure.
His brother James.
Absolutely.
Mike Hass.
Mike Hass was great. Catch anything you throw to him.
Brandon Cooks, anybody?
Brandon Cooks has to be in that conversation, too. Their offense
His
final year where he won the Biletnikoff, their offense was Mannion drop back, throw it deep. To Brandon Cooks. Like, that was like every play.
Yeah.
Throw the ball to Cooks. Throw the ball to Cooks. And it worked. They had a good year that year.
Yeah.
But Steven Jackson was big enough to run people over. He was fast enough to run away from people. He could make you miss an open space.
Who would you go at UW? Is it Kaufman? It's probably Napoleon,
Napoleon Kaufman.
But he also, this isn't to take anything away. He's a really good player. I felt like the guys around him at that time, I mean, you're talking prime dominance UW football here. And some good guys around him helping him, too.
Yeah.
It sucks to not be able to choose quarterbacks because you'd probably want to go Tuiasosopo.
Right. There's a handful of quarterbacks you could choose from Washington over the years. Right. Not going to choose Cam Cleland? You're not taking a big tight end?
Hey, Cam is nothing to sneeze at UW, and he's probably in some people's conversations for sure.
Right.
He was a stud.
Yeah, somebody texts, good thing it's not asking who you'd want to make a block. That would be that last person. Yeah, we're not talking about somebody I need to make a downfield block.
No.
That would not be DeAnthony Thomas. I need a touchdown. I need one play. It's him.
Remember that, I can't remember what game it was where DeAnthony didn't make a block?
Yeah, that was the Stanford game. The year that they would have won the national title. That was the only game they lost all year, 17-14 in overtime. Yeah. And Mariota had like a 75-yard touchdown run.
He just ran ahead of him and didn't make a block.
He like thought it was a race and somebody caught him from behind. And then they got stopped on fourth and goal. They didn't get any points out of it. And if he just makes that block, Oregon probably wins that game. They finished the season undefeated. And they play Notre Dame in the national title.
Yeah,
and they mopped the floor with Notre Dame.
Reggie Williams is one I thought about too. I couldn't believe he was a bust in the NFL, guys.
He will always go down as one of the bigger shocks for me.
He was a beast.
He was a monster at Washington. Had everything you would want out of a dominant wide receiver. I totally thought he was the next big thing.
Now, I know it's recent here, so forgive me if you think I'm not remembering anything from the 80s, because quite frankly, I'll have to look a little bit. Miles Gaskin may deserve some merit here in the conversation.
He was an underrated running back.
Very underrated for what he did. And I know that sounds stupid because I believe he's the all-time leading rusher now at UW, right? Didn't he pass Kaufman?
I think so.
So his name is going to be in the record books, and we'll always remember him. But I think in this conversation specifically, we're maybe underrating his ability too with one. What's the Washington State guy?
That's not as easy to answer for me, because when I think of like big time Washington State players, the first like five that come to mind are all quarterbacks. So if you're going to go non-quarterback,
if it's a non-quarterback, it's Reuben Mays.
Yeah. Reuben Mays.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he ran
single game record.
He ran for like 500 yards on the Beavers one year
at Oregon in 1984. He set the single game record with 357 yards.
Yeesh.
Twice named Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah. And he was out of the Steven Jackson mode. He had enough speed and power, the combination where one guy could not tackle him on his own.
I think I've changed my answer, and I have a final one here.
Final answer.
And I got to give mad props to one of the texters here at the Bet U Today text line. My UW answer will not be changed. It is officially Corey Dillon. Corey Dillon.
He's a beast.
Wrecked the Pac-12.
He was a beast.
I'm going Corey Dillon.
You go Corey Dillon over Napoleon Kaufman?
Yeah.
Over Mario Bailey? Over Aaron Pierce?
You know, if you're going to go...
He played one full season at UW, right, Dillon? Because he was a transfer JUCO kid?
Yeah.
Let me look it up.
And then he went to the league. Might have been two. Yeah, I still think I'm going Corey Dillon here.
Yeah.
What was the first name you said there?
Mario Bailey.
I don't know Mario Bailey.
Mario Bailey was the wide receiver. He's the one that you see doing the Heisman pose against Michigan in the old Rose Bowl.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then Aaron Pierce was a tight end. And he went on to play in the NFL for a number of years as well.
Corey Dillon, one year at Washington, 1996. Yeah. He had 1,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, 273 yards receiving and a touchdown. So 23 total touchdowns.
And he's just a bruiser, too. He'd take on the contact.
That's tough, yeah. It's tough to top that. Just for one year. And you also have the visions, too, of NFL Corey Dillon and how dominant he was at the next level.
If you're tuning in just now, you're really confused. Why are these guys talking about UW players? Hypothetical, if you had one guy you needed to score a touchdown, non-quarterbacks, no quarterbacks, who would you choose from your favorite college program?
Who do you go?
A lot of people texting in on this. We're going to dive back into it a little bit later on. So
my answers for Oregon and Oregon State were honestly easy. And I know that might be controversial.
Now, then,
some,
did you talk
yours
about-
is controversial, I think. I think John Stewart may.
It's weird when you call him John Stewart.
It is kind of weird.
It's The Daily Show with John Stewart.
I think John Stewart may edge people if we did a poll question on this.
Okay.
We could do it. Four from each.
Yeah, so who would the four be? So you'd have to do DeAnthony, Jonathan Stewart.
LaMichael should be in there. And Swag, what's a really good older
name?
You
got Bobby Moore, you got J.J. Burden.
Yeah.
Burden was fast. I can't remember how many.
Would you choose Burden or Moore? Which one's your main man?
There's going to be.
Well, of course, it's JJ.
It's JJ. So put JJ Burden in there. We went to those camps.
Let's
pay some respect to the Anthony Newman, JJ Burden camp
here. Shout out, Anthony Newman.
Okay, we'll dive back into this a little bit later on. Really good text at the Better You Today text line. We have the Daily Ticker coming up next. We go to Los Angeles, where Melvin Gordon reportedly kind of ticked with the Chargers. He wants a new contract, or he might demand a trade. We'll talk with Jeff Miller of the LA Times next. Daily Ticker on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Daily Ticker time here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Big story came out this morning that Melvin Gordon, the running back for the LA Chargers, is unhappy on the progress of their contract talks. So he has put out that he is willing to sit out a training camp, which starts in just 2 weeks, and that if he doesn't get the right deal, he could even maybe demand a trade. So we're going to talk with Jeff Miller of the LA Times, the beat reporter covering the Chargers. He wrote a write-up on the LATimes.com page. Go find it. Jeff, thanks for joining us here in Portland. We appreciate it, man. I know you're busy. I'll just start. How surprised are we by this news that Melvin Gordon may demand a trade if he can't get his contract?
Not terribly surprised. It's I think at minicamp a few weeks ago, Melvin talked to us, and you could tell he was already getting frustrated by things. He feels like he is a little underappreciated. Mm-hmm. He knows. Running backs maybe are a little underappreciated with what we've seen in recent years with in the NFL. And so we knew there was a chance of this. And, He sort of didn't really, when we tried to press him a little bit on the possibility of this last month, he kind of didn't want to talk a lot about it, but he didn't dismiss it right away and say he wouldn't do this. So we knew the possibility was there, and so it's his agent, and he and his agent decided today was the day that they were going to make it known publicly.
I'm curious how you feel about this playing forward, because he's got one more year left on his deal, about, what, $5 million, I think. And the Chargers obviously could give him a franchise tag if they want to the next year, depending on how this situation plays out. We just went through this with Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh. So just kind of looking forward, he's holding out. Are they going to give him a deal? Are they going to trade him? Are they going to call his bluff? Like, how does this thing go?
That's a great question. And I think right now it's any of the above or possibilities. I don't know that anybody, you know, at this time last year would have thought that what would happen with Bell, would have predicted he's going to sit out the whole season and all this is going to, I think anything's possible. I think after what we saw with Le'Veon Bell last season, I think that, you know, as crazy as it sounds, I mean, he could do something similar and sit out the season. I mean, that seems pretty extreme, but I think a lot of these running backs are discovering, you know, the teams are discovering these are difficult contracts, because you lock up a guy long term with that second contract and they start breaking down at that position.
Yeah.
So it's a really tough situation for both sides of it.
Yeah. Jeff Miller is our guest here, beat writer for the LA Times covering the Chargers, wrote a write up on Melvin Gordon, who is unhappy right now. He wants that contract. Jeff, you put in your story, he's due $5.6 million this year with the Chargers. I'm just kind of curious of your opinion. You've been covering football and, you know, taking out the Chargers here, just specifically your thoughts on paying running backs, because I've seen a few media members on Twitter going back and forth saying there is some value to a running back, and other guys say, look, running backs are just guys that you shouldn't pay because they can come in and can always find a replacement. What does Jeff Miller think about the running back position and paying it in the NFL?
I think at this moment, I think what we've seen is there are special running backs. There's no question, and I think Melvin Gordon is a special kind of running back. I think he's a top tier NFL running back. But we've also seen situations where, in the right system and behind the right line, with the right play calling, I'm not going to say anybody could be Melvin Gordon, but there are a lot of players who can fill that role. And you can get them to fill that role more cheaply. And I think that's what NFL teams are now realizing, and they're understanding. I mean, you look at what happens with the Rams and Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley, everyone knows, is a special running back. But now the Rams have locked him up long-term for a lot of money, and we don't even know if he's healthy. And it's very concerning for teams. I would tend right now, I would tend to lean more on the idea of you can get running backs. You can get guys who can gain yardage and can give you that, who can fill that role. I would tend to lean that way, as opposed to committing four or five years to a guy and a lot of money, not knowing if you're going to, you know, you may commit that whole money and, you know, and you get a season out of him. You don't really know. It's the problem is it's just such a demanding position, and it's, you know, these running backs just get beat up. So, I don't want to diminish what guys like, you know, like Bell and Gurley and Gordon can do. But at the same time, you know, we've seen other guys come in and you'll have a running back have a great season or two, and then you never hear from him again. So I think I would tend to lean more toward the, the team side of this and let's be more cautious with paying running backs the kind of money that some of these guys want to get, and they frankly deserve, but it's just a very difficult position.
Yeah, it really is a catch-22. I think you're right. There's a lot of fear right now, especially because we don't know how healthy Todd Gurley is, and that contract kind of felt like a no-brainer with how dominant he was, and then a couple injuries. Who knows what he's going to look like the next few years. Let's look at the hypothetical of this not working out for Melvin Gordon. Either he's holding out, or I guess if he gets traded, it could work out for him. But let's play the hypothetical. He's not on the Chargers. We know he's a big part of what they do offensively. The touchdown numbers are off the charts the last 3 years. Close to 1,000 yards. He's a big part of the passing game. No Melvin Gordon on the Chargers in 2019. What does the offense look like? What's the running back depth look like? How does that play for them?
Well, they have three decent running backs. Austin Eckler is a pretty good running back, a good change of pace kind of guy. None of them are every down guys. Justin Jackson, a young guy, late round draft pick last year. He showed some ability, and then they have a Datrez Newsome, I'm sorry, who is an undrafted guy last year. These guys all played some last year, different degrees. Eckler is certainly more accomplished, the most accomplished of that group. But, you know, the Chargers, the thing is they had four games last year that Melvin didn't play in, and they won all four of them. Now, that's not to say he's a problem or anything, but they found a way. And at the end of the season, when they were playing important games and they were winning a couple of important games late, he didn't contribute a whole lot. He was hurt also, and then when he was able to play, he wasn't able to do much. So they've had success without him, and as recently as, you know, the end of last season. So I don't want to say that this is a, you know, a deal breaker for the team, and they're going to be in a real bad spot if he doesn't, if he's not on the team. I mean, certainly they want him. Any team in the NFL would want him, you know, in their backfield. But it becomes more complicated and a little more difficult, and they're going to need a little more. They're going to need a few more breaks and a little more luck, maybe. But you know, they can still be a good football team without him. They certainly want him and they need him, and I don't think they can be the best team they could be without him, but they could still be pretty good.
Yeah. Get you out of here on this one, Jeff. Where would you push your chips? That they give him the contract he's looking for, or that he maybe is Le'Veon Bell 2.0?
I hope it's not a Bell situation, because I don't want to have to cover that for months, frankly, which means it probably will be a Bell situation.
Right.
I'm going to stay, you know, I'm going to stay optimistic on this and say that somehow they figure it out, and they somehow come to terms at some point. And it wouldn't shock me if it gets close to the season, into the season, and you never know. Maybe they get in a week or two and they see what they've got and they think, oh boy, this is not working out. But I'm going to, for now, I'm going to try to stay optimistic on this from a Charger perspective and a Charger fan perspective, and say that somehow they're going to work this out.
All right, there we go. Great stuff. Jeff Miller, LA Times, covering the Chargers down there for the paper. Jeff, you're killing it on the beat, man. Keep up the great work, and we'd love to get you back on maybe at some other point to maybe talk Gordon or just talk Chargers in general.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. There we go. Great stuff from Jeff Miller of the LA Times here on the Daily Ticker. Our stop down in LA, Melvin Gordon demanding a trade potentially or sitting out if he can't come to a contract agreement with the LA Chargers. Adam Schefter broke that this morning. Good stuff from Jeff Miller.
This is one of the tougher questions, I think, to answer in the NFL is how much your running back's worth. How can you plug them into your offense? I think the Todd Gurley example is the prime one. I mean, he was the next big thing. He's a dominant player, maybe the best player in the game. Gets his deal 1 year later. He's getting banged up. He can't be healthy in the NFC title game or the Super Bowl. And now everybody's wondering, what's Todd Gurley going to be going forward?
He might have arthritis.
Right? It's like, where is the rest of that contract and how is that going to look? And they got to pay a quarterback. And there's a lot of moving pieces there. So it's tough because you understand completely where Melvin Gordon's coming from. He is in the right to want a new contract. He deserves a new contract. He has been a great running back the last 3 years. 38 touchdowns in 3 seasons after not scoring one as a rookie. But you also understand where organizations come from of saying, why would we commit 4 or 5 guaranteed years and a lot of guaranteed money to a guy when he's 26, he's going to be 30 by the time that thing's up. We don't know if you're going to be healthy in 3 years. It's a really tough one.
Jeff put this story on the LA Times. Gurley, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell each recently received new deals based on total value. All three of those contracts have an average annual salary of $13 million.
Yeah.
Would you pay $13 million or $14, depending on what that number is going to be, a year for Melvin Gordon? Better you today. Text lines 55305. Let's dive into this a little bit. Should they pay the running back position? Are we just devaluing the running back position too much? We'll talk about that next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 1246 on The Fan. Kerry Murdoch is a radio host in OKC for the Sports Animal. He'll join us at 1. Damian Lillard may have blown up that franchise.
There's a lot going on in OKC right now.
So we'll talk with Kerry Murdoch here at 1 o'clock. You know, I do find this to be one that never goes away. And from time to time, I've kind of gone back and forth on my opinion on this. I think I'm going to stand pretty firm, though, of where I've been recently.
Okay.
Should you pay the running back position? Now, I find this interesting just in general because you have so many big-name running backs who go out there and give you so much great production. Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com, it kind of came out and said, no, you shouldn't do this. It's a tough position to be paying and guys get hurt, etc. Well, Bucky Brooks, who works for the NFL Network and used to play, he kind of went the other way, and he said, you can't devalue, and some of these guys just bring too much. They mean too much to your offense to just simply say, nah, not going to pay him, let him go. We'll go get a new guy. And this is what we're sitting at with the Chargers, where they have stalled in contract negotiation talks, and now Melvin Gordon is floating the idea of maybe asking for a trade or sitting out Le'Veon Bell style. I just feel like if your offensive line is taken care of, sure, there are different levels of running back, but I am not one that is big on paying running backs a big chunk of money. And my example for this one, and I know it's recent, is the Colts. The Colts went and got a generational offensive line talent in Quentin Nelson. They teamed him up, and the other guy's name is escaping me. Let me look it up. But they teamed up another guy with him on the left side. And Marlon Mack came through last year. Did you know who Marlon Mack was before last year?
Relative unknown, yeah.
Me too. And he went out there, and he had himself a hell of a year.
900 yards and 9 touchdowns.
Now, Marlon Mack's a good player. I don't want to sell him short here. But a lot of that has to do with having a great offensive line. Melvin Gordon is a phenomenal talent. Am I wanting to commit $14, $15 million a year for the next 3 to 4 years for a guy who's only played one full season at 16 games? And oh, by the way, the team went 4-0 without him last year.
Yeah, the interesting, yeah, and I don't like that stat either.
I don't either, but it's
who were
fair
the opponents?
For
what was the time of year?
I'll look it up.
Were the teams that they were playing for anything, right? You know, I think sometimes can be misleading, not to say that they can't ever win a game without Melvin Gordon. I just don't like using those stats sometimes. And I think what makes this question a little more difficult to answer in 2019 is when you get backs that are such a big part of your offense in multifaceted ways, right? Like, this isn't just Adrian Peterson. You're turning around, handing the ball off to him 30 times a game, and he's plowing forward for 4 yards to go for a $140 on the day. Like, he is, you're looking at guys like, you know, Todd Gurley, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Melvin Gordon is absolutely in this category, Le'Veon Bell, that not only are they a big part of your running attack, and you turn around, you hand it off to them, and you get good production from them, but they're also catching 50, 60, 70 balls per year. And when you take that away from an offense, I do think it's a blow to the gut. Like, the Steelers last year, I mean, the whole Le'Veon Bell situation got extremely tiresome to hear about. And yes, James Conner had a good year last year. He's a good running back. He's solid. I think he had close to 1,000 yards. He had 973. He had almost 500 yards receiving. So that's a good year for a running back. Just the year prior, though, that Le'Veon Bell was in that offense, he ran for almost 1,300 yards. So there's almost a difference in 400 yards there. And he had 655 receiving yards. So almost 200 more receiving yards than what James Conner did. That's a big gap in production. So I don't like this notion that you can just plug and play with anybody when you have guys that are you know touching the ball 60% of the time on offense, because you're using them in both facets of the running game and the passing game. And it's not an easy question to answer. I hope from this, if the Chargers cap situation isn't where it needs to be to pay a running back, I don't want to see this situation drag out for 2 years, because it can. They can call his bluff. He might sit out the entire year if he doesn't get a new deal. Guess what they can do next year? You franchise tag him. Great. Yeah. Now we got to go through this whole thing again. He's 26. He's going to be 27 next year. If you don't want to pay Melvin Gordon, you know you don't want to pay Melvin Gordon, call around the NFL. Find a team like the Jets who are willing to pay a running back because they pay Le'Veon Bell. Make a trade. Get a second-round pick in return. You think you can live without him, that's fine. But don't drag this thing out for 2 years. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah. By the way, the Colts, Braden Smith, Mark Lewinsky, Ryan Kelly, Quentin Nelson, and Castonzo last year for the Colts on the front. Look, I see where you're coming from, and there is a part of me that says, yeah, I mean, he's right. How many running backs can come in and do that for a team? Right, Ezekiel Elliott's dealing with this in Dallas.
The same thing.
Kind of a headache off the field, but holy crap, he means a lot to the team. You got guys that are just that talented. But can you make up for it in other areas? Is the big question, because when you want to pay your team, you know, you have to pay your offensive lineman. You obviously have to pay your quarterback if he's the guy. Receiver and running back seem to be the two positions, maybe the most of any other, where you kind of look at them and you go, you're really good.
Right. The funny thing,
but
about,
are you replaceable for a much lower number?
The funny thing about this to me, and it's tough when you have a salary cap, you got to figure out what percentage of the pie you can give to each player, right? And I get the running back one because guys get banged up. Todd Gurley gets his
Todd
deal.
Todd Gurley is a great example.
He's the
of
prime
this.
Example right now, and he's on the forefront of everybody's minds. I do like reminding people, though, just because Todd Gurley got hurt doesn't mean Melvin Gordon's going to get hurt in a year. We don't know what the next 4 years look like for Melvin Gordon or Ezekiel Elliott or Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley or any of these guys that are to come. Just because it happens to one doesn't mean it's going to happen to the rest. I just find it funny that there's never really a debate, or at least we haven't gotten to the point yet for NFL teams, of this being about quarterbacks. Like, for the most part, it feels like when a quarterback's up for free agency, if they're anywhere in the ballpark of being a top half of the league guy,
yeah,
paying the money.
No doubt.
Paying the money. Like, there's a few examples like Blake Bortles, but he's as borderline as you could possibly get. Like, Dallas is just going to have this no-brainer. At some point, give Dak Prescott the money, but I don't know if we should pay Ezekiel Elliott. You take Ezekiel Elliott off that offense the last 3 years, what's Dallas' offense look like?
Nothing.
Right?
I didn't know this. Of the 48 games that Dak Prescott has started as a Cowboys quarterback,
they came in together, both as rookies.
He has thrown for 300 yards 5 times.
Right.
Out of 48 games that Dak Prescott has started, he's thrown for 300 yards or more.
You know how many total yards? You know how many total yards Ezekiel Elliott had last year? He played 15 games.
He had a good year.
He had close to 2,000 total yards.
16 rushing?
He had just shy of 1,500 rushing yards and just shy of 600 receiving yards.
Yeah.
So he was just short of 2,000 total yards and 9 touchdowns.
But you know what? Here's the unfortunate part for him. It's funny you mentioned that. So Zeke does that, and we know Zeke. When Zeke plays, he's a beast. But people will go, well, DeMarco Murray rushed for 1,000
offensive
yards
line.
Zeke got there,
and I
right?
get that.
Offensive
get that.
Line's great. Dak, when you have a Dak situation, I think it's a little different, and you start to maybe think about this a little more.
Like, there's no question you're going to give that guy $30 million a year?
Well, I think there is a question. That's why he hasn't gotten paid yet.
Sure, but eventually we all feel like he's going to get it, right? The Jones family loves him. He's a Cowboys quarterback. Like, eventually, he's going to go through it a little bit, but he's going to get his deal. We know that. They're not going to trade him.
But how many situations are in the league where you go, the running back's production far outweighs the quarterback's play? Because I think Dallas, you do have that. Yeah. I'm not a big Dak guy.
It's one of the rare examples. I'll grant you that.
I heard that stat yesterday, and I couldn't believe it. Five? He's only thrown for 300 yards 5 times
in
48 games.
In an era in which people are piling up passing yards.
Breaking
like it's
records
nothing.
Every week.
Yeah, he's got 5 games.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's throwing 6 touchdowns and 500 yards.
Right.
And Dak can only do this 300-yard stuff 5 times out of 48.
Yeah, he did it in the first 4 weeks of last season. He went for over 300 yards.
I just, you know, I get it. I do. I don't know how you can balance your cap correctly when you pay these guys. And you are spot on. Projecting what's happening to Gurley onto Gordon isn't fair. But it's hard do that from a general manager standpoint of, oh, we had to pay Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley might have been one of the more universal running backs we've seen with Adrian Peterson of guys that you say, yeah, you don't want to lose Todd Gurley. Pay Todd Gurley. He's amazing.
Right.
And the instant they gave him the deal, well, looks like Todd Gurley might have arthritis the rest of his career, and he may never be the player that he was.
Yeah, I think a way to handle this a little bit better for teams, and it's not going to happen because it might not be the financially smartest thing to do, is to get out in front of this a year or two earlier instead of dragging it out. Because Melvin Gordon right now is going into a contract year. He's 26. He's got 1 year left on his deal. He sees the writing on the wall. So if he plays this year at 5 point whatever it is, they can franchise tag him if they want. He wants long-term security. And I can't blame him because, again, as a running back, you don't know how long your career is going to last. Like, this is the smart thing for him to do. I wonder if an NFL team will ever try and get out in front of it. Like, we've seen this in baseball recently. The Braves are a good example of this, where teams used to wait. You get to arbitration. You do arbitration hearings. You go through you wait until they get to become later in their career, and then if you don't want to pay them, you end up selling them off. The Braves have two young guys who just played their rookie seasons. What'd they do?
They locked him up for 135 combined.
And they have him under control for another 5 years. And they said, let's just get this out of the way. I don't want to deal with this. The players are willing to take the deal. So maybe guys will be willing, you know, after 2 good years.
But their agents won't allow them to do that. And
I
that's
know,
the problem.
But maybe they say, hey, this is your chance to get guaranteed money. We're not like, you either take it now or we're not going to pay you 2 years from now. Sign up on this 4-year deal and get a little bit of guaranteed money out of it. We'll up your pay. Boom. You know, everybody's happy on this.
Yeah.
And you can lock them up when they're 24 instead of giving them a deal when he's 26 or he's 27.
Would you rather pay, because this was thrown out there last year, of teams that have won Super Bowls, they don't have these top paid receivers. That's the thing is like, hey,
well,
guys.
Also running backs. Like, when was the last team that won with a high paid running back?
Mm.
And I also don't like that because LA was damn close last year.
I'll have to think about it, but I know receivers was specifically used of like, great wide receivers don't win you Super Bowls. And I hate that topic because I don't feel like that's fair. And at right. some point, there's going to be a top receiver that's right. making money whose team ends up being pretty damn good and they right. win. But which position would you rather pay, the running back or the wide receiver? Because I feel like they're basically the same thing for people now.
Yeah, like, so if you're giving me, like, Julio Jones or
you
Ezekiel Elliott.
You have to
commit
money to the cap, I mean, and you can only pick yeah. one position. You
I'd
can
go
use
wide
the
receiver.
Best from both.
I'd go wide receiver.
Okay.
Just because you can trust the longevity more.
And I think GMs are showing that's what they believe, too, because you're seeing wide receivers get yeah. to the 15, 17, 18 a year mark.
Right.
And running backs, I mean, I mentioned it, Gurley, Bell,
that, yeah.
13 on an average annual salary.
That's what makes this new era of the NFL so fun to talk about, though, is because you're going to get an example. Like, I might be blanking on one. Can you make the argument right now Christian McCaffrey's the best receiver for Carolina? I can't remember the receivers off the top of my head.
Is Funchess still there?
He might be, but is he? I mean,
I can't remember if Funchess went elsewhere.
Swigard's shaking
but
his head.
Even
now.
If it's not.
But that's like.
You're probably right. It's Christian McCaffrey, just like LaDainian for the Chargers back in the day,
right.
Adrian with the Vikings.
So Le'Veon Bell had Antonio Brown on the outside. So he was a dominant wide receiver. So you couldn't make that argument against him. But I think Christian McCaffrey. How about Saquon Barkley right now? They just yep. traded Odell Beckham.
He's absolutely their best wide receiver.
Right? Like, he is. The do every, so when
he's
you have,
double dipping
when you have a guy like that I have no problem. Like, he is 70% of their offense, man. Pay that dude the money.
If you paid Saquon right now and you paid him 15 mil a year, I don't think people are upset because
no.
he's given you 90 catches
right.
and 1300 rushing
and
yards.
He's 23 years old.
That's
not 27.
You're yeah. paying for two positions, but really you're paying for the price of one.
Yep.
That is a bargain. 13, 15, whatever it is a year for Saquon, that would be a bargain deal. So we'll see. Melvin Gordon trying to get paid by the Chargers. He says he will demand a trade or he will not show up to training camp, which starts in 2 weeks, if they can't reach a deal. All right, we got a loaded second hour, and we're going to kick it off with Kerry Murdoch. He is a co-host of the morning show on 98.1 The Sports Animal in Oklahoma City. A lot of movement going on with the Thunder, and all thanks to Damian Lillard. We'll start hour two talking with him next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.